Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
When I got out of high school, I graduated out of high school. I was working for my father for all those years. I had this this kind of urge to work in other types of vocations before I went to college. And so I told my dad one time, I don't think I want to work for you as much anymore. I want to do other jobs. I want to see what it feels like. We did retail and worked in tourism, and I wanted to do other things. So I went to work selling shoes in an athletic store. The problem with that is I never made anything because I get by myself shoes. So every time I got my paycheck, I had deduction because of all the shoes that I bought. So, you know, that went away real quick because I couldn't get gas in my car, but I had some fine shoes. I'm telling you that right now. And then the second job I got was carpet laying. I was a carpet layer for about a year and a half. I enjoyed that. That was a hardworking industry, laying carpet. And so that was neat. And then my brother-in-law gave me a job. He's here landscaping and laying sod. And so I did that for about a month or two, landscaping, laying sod. And then one day I came in, I was complaining to my dad and just about different things. He said, son, I'm going to go get you a job. And so he went out, I think he talked to my brother-in-law. And the next day he said, I've got you a job digging foundations and pouring concrete, digging foundations and pouring concrete. And I will never forget that about 6 to 8 weeks that I dug foundations and poured concrete. And I learned a lot about anybody who works with a shovel. They a man can have a good day. Don't mess with a person got a shovel in their truck. I'm telling you right now, they will hurt you. They are strong. And I worked with some men that were older. And I remember walking out on the job site and they were much older than me. And I was like, man, I'm going to work circles around these old geezers. I mean, I'm like 20 years old. I got it going on. These guys are like 50, 60 years old. Let me tell you something. By 3 o'clock, I was calling them all daddy, if you know what I'm talking about. Please, please leave me alone. You my daddy. Yeah, you my daddy. I mean, they were strong. Here's what I learned about digging foundations. That it took a whole lot longer to dig the footers and the piers and to dig the foundation than it was to pour the foundation. You would dig for about 3 to 4 or 5 days, depending on what type of house that was. We would dig and dig and set up our footers and dig and measure and dig and dig and dig. And then in one day, the concrete trucks or the pump trucks would come in and we would pour that foundation and finish it out or get that slab ready. You dig for those days, but then you would do it in just a short time. It's church, what I want to do today and over the next 3 weeks is I don't have time to cover all the, as we talk about the Word of God and the accuracy of the Word of God and the validity of the Word of God, I don't have time to dig as deep a foundation as I would like to in just 30 minutes. I mean, we could spend all year long talking about the trueness and the accuracy of God's Word. I don't have time to do that. But I'm going to dig a little bit. I want us to kind of be in a mode today where we're going to dig a little bit. We're going to learn a few things. And then hopefully by the end of our time, we'll pour some foundation. We'll pour some concrete on that. Because I believe we live in a world today where we need to understand the proof and the accuracy, the 100% accuracy of Scripture. And when we understand, we dig into that, we see the accuracy and the authority of God's Word, then what it will do is it will give us a foundation for living. It will give us a trustworthy foundation in God's Word. And my desire and my prayer, we close out our time today, is that we walk out of here with the foundation of Jesus Christ in the Word of God. Because I believe that many of us, we need a steady foundation. Because there's a lot of shaking going on in the world that we live in. Let me read you two very important scriptures as it relates to the Word of God, the trustworthiness of the Word of God. The first one is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 15, 16. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. I like that, convinced of. Because you know that those whom you've learned them from. So Paul's talking to Timothy. And from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul tells Timothy that you're going to find salvation. You're going to find wisdom in Scripture that will lead you to Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ, you will find faith. Love verse 16. All Scripture is God breathed. Everybody say God breathed. All Scripture is God breathed. and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Verse 16 says, all scripture, God breathed or God inspired. So 2 Timothy tells us that the origin of scripture is not man, but God. God breathed. Then we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. It says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. It was just man interpret. Now, the Bible says that it did not come about with man's or a prophet's own interpretation. Verse 21 is key. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, as they were inspired, as the writers were moved by God, they wrote as God directed. We're going to dig a little bit. To believe in God is to believe in the total accuracy and authority of His word in this book. If you believe in God, you have to believe then in the authority of this book. They cannot be separated. To go down the road of trusting in God's word and it is one thing, and it brings us purpose and direction. But to then decide in life to go down the road where you don't trust in God, it is a pointless life. And can I tell you, it is definitely a pointless Christianity if you don't believe in God's word. The secret that the enemy of your soul wants to convince you of is to constantly doubt the word of God. So one of the biggest secrets the enemy brings is the what ifs into our heart. The what ifs, the what ifs, the what ifs. Where we can get off course from the word of God. See, the enemy even did that to Jesus when he was in the wilderness. The devil came to Jesus and began to tempt him. And he tempted him with twisted belief and twisted scripture. He used the word of God, but he only used portions and bits and pieces. And then in his that accusing way, he questioned everything about God to God's son. When we think about the history of God's word, is the word trustworthy? Is the Bible trustworthy? When you look at the life of Jesus, and I'm going to condense a lot of this. When Jesus walked this planet, the books of the Old Testament were in place for him. You see this in a scripture in Luke chapter 23, verse 44. Jesus is speaking and he says this. It's just an amazing thing. Luke 24, verse 44. He says this right before the ascension. He says, this is what I have told you while I was still with you, that everything must be fulfilled that is written of me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So Jesus speaks of the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So he confirms that the Old Testament is in place. It's there for us. That he's got those early manuscripts of Christianity, of what God's word says to us. Then after Christ went to the cross, died, rose again, all those that were eyewitnesses in the church at a year around 60, 70 there, what happened is they came together with the gathering of the writings of the eyewitnesses of Jesus, what we call our New Testament. The Old Testament was in place, and then there's the New Testament. Just kind of dig in a little bit. And then they created this standard, or they canonized scripture. It's a word, canonized. It's a rule. It's a rod. They came up with a rod with the scripture, and what we have right here was canonized by those early writers and those that were eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ, the God breathed. Now, all those that were writing, they were just not freestyling or freestyling. Hey, I got a thought. And just, you know, Humpty Dumpty, sat on the wall and just kind of, you know, freestyling some thoughts. There was a criteria that they developed, because this is so important that we know this, because a lot of people want to know, well, where did the scripture come from? And how do you know? Well, there was a criteria that was developed in those early, right after Jesus moments. And I'll just give you a couple of the criteria that they set in place in those early days to decide what was going to be in the Holy Scriptures that we have today. Where this came from. So many people don't know. Where did the Bible come from? So here's a couple of the criteria. First thing is they wanted to make sure that the book was written by a prophet or God's spokesman. Okay, who wrote the book? You know, so we have, you know, Matthew, we have Paul, we have Mark, we have Luke. So who was an eyewitness? Who was a prophet of God? Who spoke? So we had to look at the person. They looked at the person. who wrote the letter, wrote the book. And then the other thing that they looked at the writer's life or their witness. Were they certified by God? Did they see miracles? Did they have the power of God? Were they pure in God? So you looked at their life and their character. The other criteria that was important is, did they speak the truth about God? Was there a clear consistency about God that they couldn't all of a sudden say, well, you know, I saw God as a, you know, as an ostrich and everybody else saw him as this, but he's an ostrich. No, he's not an ostrich. So there was a consistency, there was the person, there was the character. These were criteria as they looked at Scripture. And then the other thing that was important, that it was historically correct. Had to base with history. Couldn't say, well, the ocean's purple. Well, the ocean's not purple. It's blue. Well, you know, mountains are upside down. Well, no, they're not. I mean, you know, so they had to kind of line up with the reality of history. So they put all that together. And in 360 AD, under Constantine, those 66 books that we have in our Bible were accepted. They were canonized. They were canonized as Scripture. And you can just see this through history. Now, I'll sum up a few truths for you that I think is so important. This Bible that we have, I can say without contradiction, is the most accurate of any book ever written. There's not a more accurate book that's ever been written than the Scripture that we have. I mean, no book, nowhere. When you think about the manuscripts, when you read this, saying, okay, is this what they put together in 380? Is this the same thing? There's never been a book that is more accurate that you read thousands of years later that was exactly put together in the day that they put it together. I mean, there's nothing that even comes close to the accuracy of what you're reading right now was what they actually wrote. I mean, there's over 5,000 manuscripts that verify the accuracy that what we're reading is God's word. There's over 20,000 pieces of parchment that line up, that there's the consistency of what we're reading. Somebody says, well, does it line up? Can I tell you, the book that is second to this, there's only 635 manuscripts. It's not even a close second that line up with the accuracy of that book that we had. It's the Iliad by Homer, who is a book of myths and poetry. When you think about it, it has over 600 manuscripts that say it's correct. When you read the Iliad, you know that you're really reading what the authors put together. Isn't it amazing that over 5,000 manuscripts? I mean, you think about it. The accuracy that what we get to read is God's word. It's written over a 2,000 year span. Think about it. Over 50 authors, 5 different locations, all the different time periods and cultures and backdrops, the different languages, written in Hebrew, written in Greek, written in Aramaic. See, why do you tell me this? Why is this important? Because we have to believe that all these 66 books are tied together by God that speak one voice of God's plan, God's salvation, God's truth for you and I. And we could spend hours talking about the accuracy and historical data that's there about the word of God. It could just go on and on and on talking about that. Let's pour in a little more concrete. So we believe that when you read this, that God knit all this together. That's what we believe, that God put the whole thing together, that this is what he wanted us to have for life and for direction. Now, as a church, we express what we believe in what we call our tenets of faith. Again, we're digging foundation. Anybody sweating yet? Anybody need a water break? We're digging. We're getting ready to pour some concrete, but we're still digging a little bit. This is important. I want to read you our tenet of faith about the Bible, what we believe as a church, to show you'll know. What do you believe as a church? You know, do we believe this? This is what we believe about inspired Scripture. The Bible is, this is what we say in our doctrine. The Bible is God's word to us. It was written by human authors under the supernatural guidance. I mean, we talked about it being breathed, inspired, of the Holy Spirit of God. It is the supreme source of truth for Christian belief and living. Why? Because God inspired it. It is the truth without error. We do not believe it's in error in any way. The Bible was not written to educate us only, but to change our very lives. See, it's one thing to believe that the Bible is interesting, but it's another thing to believe that the Bible was inspired by God Almighty. Salvation is found in the inspiration of God's word, not in the interest of God's word. We have to move beyond that it's interesting to the inspiration of God's word. So as a church, we do not doubt anything in the Bible. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Sometimes I can't figure it out because God's a little smarter than you and I. But we believe in the virgin birth. We believe in divine healing. We believe in miracles. We believe Jesus rose from the dead. We believe in heaven and hell. We believe Jesus is the only way to salvation. And we do not apologize or back down from the idea this is God's word. No matter what in our own life, we just believe it. It's God's word. We're going to live our life. Now, I got me some scissors. I'm always a little scared of scissors. It's like when I hold matches. One time I lit matches when I was young, and I lit the dumpster on fire beside our apartment, and my dad wore me out. And so even to this day when I light matches, I get a little nauseous. I just get a little shaky. It's the same thing with scissors. My mother said, don't run with scissors. You'll stab somebody. You'll stab yourself. It's just you don't run with scissors. And then the other thing, when you think about scissors, I like these. These are all built silver scissors. I like them because it's interesting. They change. Scissors will change things. Scissors cut things. Scissors will separate things. I remember when I was a senior in high school, my mother took me shopping right before my senior pictures. I think we took them in the summer or the fall before we graduated. So she took me shopping. I had to have a kind of a good looking outfit. Didn't have a lot of that living at the beach, just shorts and a tank top. So she took me shopping. And she took me this really nice menswear. And I remember they had these shirts called polos. They were in these really bright colors like purple and yellow and light blue, pink back in the day. And so she bought me a pair of pants called duckheads. Anybody holler from the 80s? Can I have an amen? I had duck heads and I had a polo shirt. I was so proud. She bought me 6 polo shirts. They were like $40, $50 back in the day. And I remember I went home and tried. They were so cool. She's going to take my senior picture. I had yellow pants on. And I had a purple shirt. I was an LSU fan, didn't even know it. It was prophecy that I would live in Baton Rouge. Yellow pants, look like a canary, but a large one, and a purple polo. I was trying them all on, and when I put them on, I just, ugh. And the tag in the back was scratchy. Do we have anybody here, you can't stand scratchy tags? Well, way back in the day, before there were a thing called tagless undershirts, they had tags. And so I got all of my polo shirts out. And I started clipping out the back tag. I couldn't take the label, scratching my neck. Oh, scratching my neck. I couldn't take it. So I ripped the shirt, cutting them out. All 6 of them. Wah! Next day later, put on my yellow pants, my topsiders back in the day, they've come back around, my purple polo shirt. I went out to take my picture. I was going out the door and my mother said, Dino, there is a hole in the back of your polo shirt. Hole about that big. I didn't realize I'd cut too much. I just cut out. So in my senior pictures, all of them, I'm facing forward. Because every senior picture, you got to do this. Like you're going to go into your career with your chin. Give me a job. I'm good with my chin. This is what's happening today to the Bible. even with very smart people. They may be smart, but they're not supernatural. And being smart doesn't make you supernatural. And it's hard to understand this book if it's only through smarts. There's a supernatural bent to this book that changes everything. And so we just start clipping and we start cutting and pasting what we believe and what we don't believe. And I had somebody say, why don't you cut the scripture? Because I don't want lightning to strike. I'm a good Italian. And they start cutting and pasting. And when you start cutting and pasting this scripture, it's a very different intent. You take out the original intent. So they said, well, I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. It's going to take that out. I don't believe John 14:6, that Jesus is the only way to the Father. I'm going to snip that out. I don't believe in healing. Isaiah 53. I'm going to snip that out. I don't believe in tithing. I'm going to snip that out. I don't believe in giving. I'm going to snip that out. I don't believe in the sanctity of marriage. I'm going to snip that out. And what happens is you start taking away and snipping out, and you only accept the part that works for you. That's what sometimes what happens in our world. It gets very critical. And so they only take the part that really makes sense. Can I tell you this? You can't make it say something that you want it to say for yourself. You can't do that to the Word of God. Its intent is gone. You got to take it as whole truth. You got to trust God. Say, well, Dino, I have a lot of questions about what you've talked about. I'm trying to figure out dinosaurs still. I mean, what about UFOs? I mean, there's so many questions. We have resources. So some of the things we've talked about historically and accuracy and the authority of God's Word, if you've always wanted to understand where did the Bible come from, we've got amazing resources in our cafe. Josh McDowell has a great book. Lee Strobel, who was an atheist for many years, has a great book on why he was an atheist. And by reading scripture, he came to faith. I mean, you could go by the cafe, read something on if you have a lot of questions. And then you may say, well, I don't know anything about the Bible. I want to encourage you to read the Bible. It's almost like saying, well, I don't like yogurt. Have you ever tasted yogurt? No, but I don't like it. It's the same as someone who's trying. It's people that say, well, I don't believe the book, but I believe in Jesus. Or I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe the Bible. You can't take one without the other. And so what happens, it's like saying, you write your dissertation on Montana. Have you been to Montana? No, I've never been to Montana. And there are so many people that will tell you things about the Bible, but they've never read the Bible. And they've never read scripture. They've never studied Holy Scripture. But yet they heard an uncle say this, or they watched someone on TV say this, and they believe it, but yet they've never read it. Can I tell you something? When you read it, it's amazing how it changes your life. So I want to encourage you, if you've always had doubts and questions, read it. And we've got all different types of versions in our Mission Cafe. But if you cannot afford a Bible, you don't have a Bible, we will give you one today. So you can go to one of our Connect Foyers, get a free Bible today, get scripture to begin to read it for yourself, to see how the Holy Spirit will knit it together for your heart and for your life. It's so important if you don't have a Bible. It would break my heart to know that you don't have a Bible. So we want to give you a Bible today if you don't have one. Now I want to wrap this up and give you some application. Kind of set some concrete. Here's the first thought. And it's a lot to talk about in just 32 minutes. It's like trying to describe a woman in 32 minutes. Where does one begin? Can I have an amen from all the strong men? Come on, you ain't scared? Yeah. I ain't scared. Still ain't figured her out. Don't be afraid, man. Oh, no, I know my wife. Man up. I hadn't figured Dylan out yet, but I like her. I'm going home with her. Two applications. The Word of God will change your life. The Word of God will change your life. Can I encourage you to take this challenge? Try over the next 3 weeks to read the Bible every day for 10 or 15 minutes. Where do I begin? Begin in the book of John. After you get through with the book of John, go to the book of Psalms. When you get done with Psalms, jump back to Luke. Go to Romans. I read Ephesians about 150 times when I was in college. Professor gave me a challenge to read the book of Ephesians if I want to understand grace and mercy, redemption, what Jesus did for us. It's amazing as I read it, how it changed my life. 3-week challenge, 10 or 15 minutes. It'll change your outlook on life, your marriage, your relationship, the view of yourself, as Pastor Mike did a great job talking about that. It'll give you answers. It'll bring peace. Ultimately, Scripture will lead you to Jesus. Psalms 119, 105. I love this scripture. And the writer saying this to God, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." See, the word of God will change your life. Why? Because the word of God makes you stronger, strengthens your faith. When your faith is weak, you read stronger. Ooh, ooh. It's pretty powerful. But the word of God, when you lift it, when you read it, it makes you stronger in your faith. Change your life. Change your life. And then the last thing that brings application. I tell you something about the Word of God. It will always be hard to fully understand. I want you to remember this. It's always hard to fully understand the Word of God if you don't believe in the Son of God. See, today is a day of salvation. How do you get to salvation? You know, how do I find forgiveness? How do I find a fresh start? How do I find a new beginning? How do I find myself strong? You get back to the book. If you'll get back to the book, you'll get back to the Son. If you'll get back to the Son, you'll get back to the book. It's hard to I know so many people that try to read the Bible, but yet they do not believe in Jesus Christ. It's just not going to make any sense. Matter of fact, there's a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." It's hard to understand the Spirit of God when we've not accepted the Son of God. It's hard to understand the words of God when you've not received the Son of God. It begins with the Son of God.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.